Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So one thing that's cool about what we do is that people know you that you don't know. And that very thing applies to my next guest. He doesn't know me, but I've known him for a number of years. Auditioned for a show at his station at 560 WQAM in Miami. Didn't get it, but we both know and are friends with the program director of that station, Len Wiener. He was a standout linebacker for the University of Florida and then went on to do great things in the NFL for the Miami Dolphins. Channing Crowder now joins us on the show, afternoon drive host on 560 WQAM. Channing, our first chance to get to speak to you today, I truly greatly appreciate it. And of course, Channing Crowder is our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. Insider calls are brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great tropical flavors. Good afternoon, Channing. How are you?
What's going on, Mark? Man, don't understand yourself now. I'm a sports radio junkie. And once Tannehill got out to Tennessee, I had to dial up north a little bit, man. I've listened to you a number of times, and yeah, Lynn's a great dude, man. Lynn Wine is a special guy. I put together Mike and Mike 20 years ago. But yeah, man, don't understand yourself, Mark. Now, you that dude, too.
I appreciate it, man. I really, really do. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. So let's open with our Gators here, shall we? What do you make of the job Dan Mullen is doing with the program overall?
I don't like to take credit for much, but as soon as McElwain left, and I actually played under Muschamp when he was with the Dolphins, when Saban was there, they drafted me. And I didn't think Muschamp was ready to be a head coach. I didn't think McElwain, coming from Colorado State, he wasn't ready. And as soon as they were looking, I said, go get Mullen. He was the championship OC. He was the Tebow guy. Mullen knows. Mullen is he is savvy, his confidence, and then more than anything, his play calling, his knowledge of offense. He is the guy that needs to be in Florida. Spurrier set a precedent at Florida where you have to have a little cockiness, but you got to put points on the board. And we saw last year, any number six in the nation, a couple close losses, but I think Mullen was the perfect get. They have a young guy. You know, Emory Jones is there, Trask is there, who's a serviceable quarterback. But they have a guy, Richardson, out of Gainesville, this quarterback coming in this year.
Yes.
I've talked to Mullen a couple times, Mark, and when he was down here for the Orange Bowl media day, off air, I pulled Mullen to the side. I was like, Mullen, what's up with this kid Richardson? Mullen started rubbing his hands like a gerbil. He was like, Crowder. He said, Crowder, when I get a hold of this guy, I think he's 6'5", 220 already. They compare him to Cam Newton. Now I want to put that on a young kid. The kid's only 18. I don't want to put that on a Mark West. Richardson and Mullen's offense, with these receivers we have coming back, with what we added on defense, we have two guys coming out of South Florida. Wingo from St. Thomas Aquinas, I believe, is going to start this year. I love what Mullen's doing. I analyze every other team in sports, basketball, football, baseball, hockey, soccer. I love the Gators. I get emotionally attached to Gators football, and I love what Mullen's doing right now in Gainesville.
You know what, Channing? I loved you on our team, man. Like, what I loved about you was your intensity. And I don't know what it is, but it seems like the intensity that you brought to the game is now a rarity. I don't know if it's a societal thing. Do you think it's a societal thing? Like, what we're seeing fewer players with that kind of quote unquote dog in them that you brought to the game on a day in, day out basis? Because your intensity, Channing, was something to watch, man.
You don't got to quote-unquote it. That's what it is. It's that dog. I love to put it that way. It's that dog. And I talk about it. Nowadays, the game's changing. There's less disdain for your opponent. There's less, like, you know, hatred. You know, I know it's a strong word, but, like, I didn't literally hate the humans I was going against. I hated Mississippi State. I hated Auburn. I literally hate Georgia. Hate Tennessee. Like, when you're playing those guys, you're trying to disrespect the U.S. You're trying to disrespect from Devon Kirsch to Emmitt Smith to Steve Spurrier to to work. Like, you're trying to disrespect what the Gators are, and I approached it that way. I like how you put it in societal where now, guys are doing the jersey exchange. Guys are working out together. You know, in high school, even with these rivals camps and these, UFA camps, South Florida Express and all these 707s, like, all these kids know each other, and they have this rapport, and they're friends. Where I knew a bunch of guys. I was committed to UGA for two or three weeks before Ron Zook got the job and brought in Charlie Strong. And I'm mad at Charlie. Charlie's in with Alabama. I'm going to have to talk to Chuck when I get a chance to see him. And say, Chuck, what the hell are you doing? But, like, when I got to Florida, like, I gained a disdain for any other SEC team or really any team we went against. I think nowadays the younger kids now and different opinions, I don't like it, but some people are saying, you know, the world's changing. I think that's where it is, where back in the day, there was a thing where it's us against the world. Now it's, let's score points. You know, let's beat the other team. Let's have more points at the end. When I played a team, Mark, I wanted the other team's parents not to want to drive them home that night.
I love that, though, man. I love that, and that's what's missing from today, man. I want that hatred back. I hate that LeBron James is closer to the opponents than he is to his own fans. I hate that, man. That's not what – you know, that wasn't the case with Larry Bird and the Celtics versus the Lakers back in the day, right? That was sports at its best, wasn't it?
It wasn't like that. The Mamba mentality, you know, Kobe passing, untimely. Like, that Mamba mentality, if people really knew what that means, but, like, that is special. I love what's going on right now. You bring up, like, LeBron. LeBron is a guy who wants to bring everybody in and work out with everybody and, you know, go out to dinner. Did you see what Giannis was doing to Harden this weekend? Like, Giannis does not like James Harden. Giannis Antetokounmpo disdains James Harden. He said, he's not a good defender. I don't want to be on his team. And he threw a ball at his head. Like, the one athlete right now that I've fallen in love with is Giannis Antetokounmpo because he has an old-school mind frame, that humble mentality that when I go on the court, you're trying to steal my money. You're trying to take food out of my family's mouth. You're trying to make me not win MVP. You're trying to derail my career. Like, that thought, and I know it's kind of far-fetched, but athletes that think that way, I believe they're better. Kobe, you're talking about Jordan. Jordan used to punch his teammates in the face if he didn't think they were playing
true.
Hard. Like, think about these stories we heard about those 80s and 90s, and I would say, I don't even get into 2000, maybe early 2000 athletes. Well, I love that, and I embraced it. And my favorite athlete of all time, I had two Rottweilers. One was named Lawrence, and one was named Taylor. Lawrence Taylor had that. Lawrence Taylor had that wild dog in him, and when I grew up in football, that's who I learned from was a Lawrence Taylor type, and that's what I have. But I'll tell you, we're the last of a dying breed, Mark.
Yeah, I'm getting tears in my eyes thinking about that, Channing. I don't like thinking about that. So, Channing Crowder joining us right now on the show. Current afternoon drive host in Miami, former Miami Dolphin 2005 to 2010 and Florida Gator 2003 to 2005. How's the XFL doing so far, Channing?
The scores are too low. Okay. Especially when you get a startup league, the defense is always starting. It's funny thing, it's football. When you go to camp in high school, college, NFL, the defense is always here because defense is reactionary. Defense is, you know, you can have tenacity and do your job and physically dominate the other guy. But offense is more, you know, timing, strategic, you know, spreading, you know, figuring out what guy can't, finding matchups. But I think the XFL, they can make it when the over-unders start getting around the 50. 55 point. When you have the 30 to 25 games, 40 to 45 games, like that's what people nowadays want to see. They kill me in South Florida because I loved the 2000 Ravens, 2000 Bucks. I mean, 2000 Ravens, 2002 Buccaneers. I love defenses like that. I love a 7-10 game. I think that is football. But I had to get out of what I'm used to because now where football is going, you see what the Kansas City Chiefs this year, what they're doing. You saw what LSU. With what Joe Burrow did, got people, football fans, and real fans now, they want to see 30, 40 on the board, and that's what the XFL is lacking, and the star power, too. Like, there's Cardell Jones, Aaron Murray, he's rotating in with Flowers from USF. Like, when you're putting up 17 to 22 points a game, that's not where football's going. And I think that if XFL wants to really make it, they have to start having the over-unders around 50 points, 60 points. And that's when people will start watching for the excitement of football to what it is in 2020.
You know, I bring in my producer here, Channing, who's a Kansas City Chiefs fan. But again, I agree with Channing. I used to love when you would watch a team play against a great Steelers defense, knowing they had no chance to score a touchdown and knowing that they were going to get their butts whooped physically the entire game trying to score a touchdown. I'm down with the 10-7 games, 9-6. But your team, the Kansas City Chiefs, is a different brand of football. Channing, I would have no problem whatsoever getting back to that, but producer Lonzo, your chance to retort.
See, here's the thing. I think you can have both because, yeah, I want to see Kansas City score what they're doing, but I would love to have their defense shut the other team out. I have no problem with 50-0, 50-7, something like that. I love defensive games.
The problem is that they tweaked the rules, though, so that we don't see that anymore.
The league isn't going that way, but I'd love to see Kansas City play that kind of defense. Are you kidding? I'd just destroy the other team and not let them do anything. Yeah.
Well, you want to see your team's defense play well with your offense still going to score 50. And that, you know, and you still want to see the excitement of it. And that's the thing where, and to be honest, you know, football-wise, when you're going out there to score every time, you're not trying to manage the clock, you're not trying to run the ball, you're not worried about time possession. People, if y'all notice, people don't even talk about time possession anymore because, we need to go out and score. And that's where even the San Francisco had that long run game. I'm a gambling guy. We can talk about it now because they're legalizing it. I knew, fellas, I knew at one point the Kansas City Chiefs can score in two plays. The 49ers need 10, 12, 14 per drive. You just can't keep up. It's a rabbit, you know, racing against a damn pit bull. Like, it's just you can't play the pit bull style of football that you used to play. And I would love to have some beat-em-up teams like the 49ers were this year. Great defensive front, four first-rounders in that front four. Nick Bosa is a monster, you know, good secondary and good run game. But when I had to mess up the Super Bowl, I had to take the Kansas City Chiefs. I had to put a good mortgage and a half on it because I knew where football was, and I knew that a guy like Patrick Mahomes right now, a guy like Deshaun Watson, like these young quarterbacks now, I think Kyler Murray, I like, even though AZ wasn't the greatest team, what they're doing, that's where football's going. That's why Cliff Kingsbury gets the job. It is where football's going. If we can get back to 17-12, 10-7 games, I love to see 30-30 football. You're going to take a couple field goals if you get lucky, but you were talking about the Steelers, LeVon Kirkland is Kevin Green, Joey Porter, I played with him. James Ferrier, you know, Casey Hampton. Those defenses, I loved watching. I loved watching that zone, those zone blitzes. There are so many talented offensive play callers. There's so many talented quarterbacks coming all the way from high school. I'm a high school coach now, and right now everybody in high school, it's called air raid. 50 passes a game, 8 runs. That's all that high school is right now. And that's where football is going. I'm adjusting slowly. I'm saying I'm not happy about it, but I have to adjust. You have to figure out what's going on this day and age. But I don't think we're going to see much single digit scoring teams unless they're garbage. You know, unless they're the Dolphins this year get shut out. You know, scoring 0 a game.
Right.
Bad teams are going to get single digits. Not great defenses anymore. The league is not the league now. Football period. All the way from where I coach to the NFL. Everything's changing, fellas.
Let's say you have a top 7 draft pick this year and you're running a team, Channing. Is Tua Tagovailoa a risk you're willing to take with a pick that high?
It is. It's 2020. This isn't the Bo Jackson hip. This is a 2020. Got him straight to the hospital. And down here, we're in the fifth spot. The Dolphins are in the fifth spot. And Tua was the guy. We had tanked for Tua all year. They're losing. They're going to be by 50 in the first game. They've got 40 in the second. We want to tank for Tua. So now a guy gets injured, just like a Brady tore his knee up, just like an Adrian Peterson, you know, tore his knee up and came back and, you know, it came back and led the league in rushing. I think the technology, I think the medical advancements now, I would take a chance on Tua. And I want to ask y'all something. This is something I ask a lot of people. If both guys are healthy, is Tua Tagovailoa or Joe Burrow a better, more proven quarterback? Because I don't know. I don't really know the answer, but I lean towards Tua.
I think Tua is more accurate than Joe. honestly. But they're not both healthy, so you got to go with Joe.
See, I can't get past my bias. I'm from Ohio, so I'm going to go with Joe Burrow because he's from Ohio.
Yeah.
Was at Ohio State, you know, so I'm going to go with that. I think they're both really good, but I worry about that hip injury.
Well, the other thing to Channing's point is because we saw Joe Burrow without Joe Brady, you wonder how much of that was Joe Brady, whereas we saw Tua dominate for years now. I mean, we've just seen him own the SEC for years, so I think that lends credence to what Channing is saying.
Yeah, fellas, and think about it, Mr. Trubisky, 1 year at USC, played well, got drafted high, and I'm believing that the Bears are looking for a replacement. But Joe Brady comes in with, and bro, that Saints offense, that quick fire, what Joe Burrow was doing, and I'm impressed. What he did, not even the next 17 game, the semifinal, 7 touchdowns in the first half, like I was my jaw dropped when I saw him play. But he got ran out of Ohio State by Haskins. He got run over Ohio State by Carlos Jones starting over him. Like those guys were great,
yeah.
And he had to transfer to get in the game with an amazing receiving core, with a dominant secondary. LSU's defense went great, but the secondary, you know, they probably had three first rounders in the secondary. That's when I look at the ball. I'm like, how can we call it you know, recency bias.
Yes.
Are they getting stuck in this recency bias with Joe Burrow and Joe Brady's scheme and saying that he's better than the guy that went in the second half of a national championship game against Georgia and brought the guys back after Jalen Hurts, you know, pooped the bed in the first half? Like, when I look at these two players, man, I see Tua's highlights, full games, SEC guy, I'm more impressed by what Tua did in Alabama healthy than what Joe Burrow did in a full season and an overall career at LSU/Ohio State. If this hip is right, I think Tua is going to be a steal of a draft. Even if he goes after Burrow, I think we'll look back and say, wow, he went after Joe Burrow, after Chase Young. And I would raise a child with Chase Young. I love Chase Young. But when you look back at these guys, I think Tua is going to be a better NFL quarterback when this hip's right.
Well, that's the question I was going to ask you, because we know they're both going to go to pretty bad teams. Who is more successful quicker, and is that show who's going to be the better quarterback overall?
Well, I was just reading, you know, up on it where you see, I don't know. People are saying that Joe Burrow might do the Eli Manning thing to Cincinnati. He came in, I read an article today, he was saying, I have the leverage where, you know, really you don't have the leverage. You're a college guy getting drafted, but Cincinnati, I've heard Carson Palmer, you know, you've heard a little bit about Carson Palmer saying the organizations, they don't know what they're doing. You see what Andy Dalton did, you know, decent. I'm not impressed by Andy Dalton. They're about to, you know, they're going to move on from him, obviously. And you have to look at that and say, going to bad teams where I'm not that close to Cincinnati. I am in Miami. But I like what Chris Greer, the GM, I like. They have Reggie McKenzie, who drafted Khalil Mack. He kind of built the Raiders before John Gruden came there. So with Chris Greer, Reggie McKenzie behind the scenes, and Brian Flores, who came from New England. Brian Flores, we have alumni meetings, and Brian Flores is a no-nonsense. Stay in New England, do your job. Do the right thing. Do what it takes to win. I don't need friends. I need players. And I would say with Flores in charge, Chris Greer doing his thing, Stephen Ross really just backing up. Stephen Ross, a real estate guy. I think he was too involved early, and now Stephen Ross is kind of backing up because he trusts his guys. I think Miami's culture is about to change. You saw at the end of last year when they started winning games, they should be winning with the talent that they had. They had got, bro, Dolphins had guys last year, fellas, that are not going to make an NFL roster this year, and they were winning games with it. Their secondary, I could play safety better than some of the guys they had started. And I'm 36 years old with 4 ACL reconstructions and 2 Liz Franks. I have 4 screws in both my feet.
Wow.
So when I'm looking at the Dolphins, I really do, not being a Miami bias guy, when I'm looking at the Dolphins culture and seeing what Brian Flores is bringing, Chris Greer, Reggie McKenzie, Stephen Ross backing up, I think that whoever does get drafted by the Dolphins are in a way better situation then who goes to Cincinnati.
All right, Channing, to close this today, I'm going to test your memory of our University of Florida alma mater. Can you and I close this by singing together the very end of our alma mater that begins with "In All Kinds of Weather," the very end of it? Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. In all kinds of weather, we all stick together. For FLORIDA. loved it, Channing.
I gotta be honest. Usually at the end of the song, I was looking up in the stands to see what girl I'm gonna try to holler at after the game. But I appreciate you bringing the nostalgia back to me.
Yes, sir. Yes, Channing. I enjoyed it so much, man. Let's do it again sometime soon. All continued success to you, bud.
Appreciate you so much, bro. Anytime, y'all give me a call.
All right, thank you. Channing Crowder. That was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Channing Crowder. Insider calls are brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in 2 great tropical flavors. Lonzo, that was one of my top 5 most enjoyable interviews of all time.
I like that guy.
Of all time.
I did.
I absolutely love that. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did, except for our singing there at the end. And if I ruined one of your ears, at least you have another one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.